What's going on, everyone? Ali Khan Ravjani introducing you to episode 5 of Sports from the 6, alongside my esteemed co-host, Filippo Livingstone, a.k.a. The Tragically Flip, along with Dwayne, more magic up these sleeves than David Blaine, Turner.
Swish.
So, guys, I guess we should start off by talking a little bit of NCAA hoop action, one of the best times of the year for basketball fans.
The madness.
Don't even want to ask about your brackets because they're pretty much shattered at this point.
Hey, buddy, speak for yourself. I don't know. Mine is somewhat intact.
Dwayne, I don't really know if last place is keeping anything intact.
Hey, truth hurts.
I'm coming. Who's in the lead right now?
I
think it's our classmate, our good buddy George.
Yeah, George.
George Reddick.
George.
All right.
Okay, it tells you something when Joe Narsa, we love Joe Narsa, is number one for a while because he picked based on cigarettes. I mean, that tells you the nature of this year's tournament. Okay, but honestly, guys, your thoughts after weekend one of play?
Well, it's called March Madness for a reason. And, you know, we got started off with a bunch of great games. I believe the first one was Notre Dame and Northeastern. We were actually lucky enough to be able to watch it in class. It was a great game. All of these games have been coming down to the wire. I know that we haven't necessarily seen a lot of upsets, but for a lot of these seeds, we're seeing a lot of competitive games, and it's just great basketball to see these guys putting it on the line like that.
Super competitive, a bunch of close games. These games have been super fun to watch, even though some of these schools are relative unknowns like Northeastern. You've had a team like Harvard coming out of a division where you don't usually have some solid teams, and they're giving a team like North Carolina a run for their money. Only a 2-point victory.
I didn't enjoy that at all.
2-point victory for your Tar Heels there, Dwayne. Dwayne was sweating it out a bit. So it's been exciting ball, and I can't wait for the Sweet 16 and moving forward. Thursday night can't come fast enough. I don't know what you guys think.
I actually had Iowa State going to the Elite Eight in my class bracket, so
ouch.
As much as I ripped Dwayne, you could imagine how I felt on day one when they were unable to pull off a game against UAB. And I look at that and I'm like, man, there goes my bracket, obviously. Iowa State does have Naz Long, the Canadian from Mississauga.
That's right.
Repping the 905. And George Niang had one of his worst games of the season. And that, to me, that's the beauty of this tournament. It's a one-game thing, you know? Right. Anything can happen in that game. Any team has a tendency. We see it in the NBA all the time on a smaller scale that anyone can have a good game or a bad game any night. And that's the beauty of why it's almost impossible to have a perfect bracket here.
AK, you bring up an interesting point there about the Canadian content in this year's tournament. We have 28 Canadians in the March Madness rosters this year, and I'm not sure who's impressed you guys, but I know I've been looking at a guy like Trey Lyles on Kentucky. Has really impressed me so far. That's a deep rotation there in Kentucky, and he came into the tournament averaging 8 points, 5 boards, and 22 minutes per game, and he's continued his strong play, and he's really impressed me so far as a Canadian. I don't know what other guys, maybe some Canadians that have impressed you guys.
Well, overall, I think I look at it more as over the season, and a guy like Dylan Ennis pops up for me. I know that Villanova is out now, and they've been knocked out, but Dylan Ennis is a guy who transferred over from Rice. He's moved over to the more of the two spot now. He's not just solely a point guard. He's got a lot of chances this year to play in their rotation. He's averaging 28 minutes per game. That's a number one seed. So I look at a guy like that and the development of Canadian basketball, and that's someone who I really look towards. Trey Lyles, obviously, that Kentucky team everyone knows is so deep. They're really the favorite. They're poised to go out and win the championship. And I still think, barring some kind of miraculous loss here, they're going to end up with that perfect season and winning the title. A few other guys that have really stuck out as well. You have, of course, the Gonzaga boys, Kevin Pangos, who's really stood out there for Gonzaga.
That's right.
And there's been, we've seen it the last few years, there has been more and more Canadian content in the NCAA tournament. We saw it with Tyler Ennis.
That's right.
Last year as well, down in Syracuse. And now he's finally getting a chance to play over with the Milwaukee Bucks. So I think we're seeing it. I still can't really emphasize how important I personally feel the college game is to the development of these players as they work towards the NBA.
Right.
And I think it's a good thing that we're seeing these Canadians now in high-pressure situations with some of the top schools in the nation.
Right, and you bring up Gonzaga, and let's not forget Kevin Wilcher as well, who partners up with Kevin Pangos there, who, you know, they've had a great weekend as well and are probably one of the favorites to get out of their region. So, yeah, it's great to see these Canadians performing so well on the biggest stage, and, you know, we wish them all the best, and, you know, hope. And you bring up a great point, Ali, for them to get that development going through college and these great programs and getting this kind of high pressure or being put in these kind of high pressure situations so that they know going into the NBA or hopefully going into the NBA what it takes. And you bring up also Kentucky. Kentucky, we should mention, is the first team in NCAA history to start a season 36-0. You know, mm-hmm. And obviously we know they're going for that perfect season and they are the prohibited favorites. So we'll see how that goes. I personally actually have them losing to Notre Dame eventually, but it's just so hard to be able to go through a full season and not lose a game. And, you know, Coach Calipari, he's going to have them ready. We know that, but it's not an easy task. Not one at all.
Before we pass on from Canadians, I do would like to shout out Holland Landing, the home of Kevin Pangos, just north of the city, breeding some good ballers coming out of North Toronto. Just had to get that little shout out in there, guys, for the Canadian content one time.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess so. One of the biggest storylines actually over the weekend was, and it actually involved one of the biggest upsets, it was the 14th seeded Georgia State Panthers taking out the Baylor Bears. And I mean, the upset alone is a huge story in itself, but I think the circumstances surrounding that game is what makes it even bigger. The situation was there were 10 seconds to go. Georgia State was actually down by 2 points, and they had the ball. And the ball was in R.J. Hunter's hands. And he had an opportunity where he could either drive to the net or he could maybe possibly go for the game-winning three. I mean, there was enough time, 10 seconds again, to be able to make up his mind. And what he ended up doing was he ended up taking a huge three. I mean, one of those threes that you see in the NBA. It was about 2 or 3 steps out or feet from the three-point line. And it was an incredible shot. And to see the reaction from his father, yep, who happens to be the coach,
yep,
fall off his chair. And guys, I don't know if you guys, well, I'm sure you guys heard already that he actually was suffering from a torn Achilles going into that game because of his celebration from their previous game. So it was just an incredible, incredible scene to watch. And their embrace after the game, I mean, that's why we love sports at the end of the day.
I have to agree with you, Dwayne, watching that kind of stuff. You know, those stories, they write themselves. That's moving stuff. It transcends the game. It's really fun to watch, to see someone so passionate about not only the game but their family. This coach, seeing his post-game press conference after they lost in the second round, it's escaping me who knocked them out, but we'll get our stats man on that in a sec. After their loss in the second round, how passionately he spoke about his son. It's just, you know what, it's great stuff. It's fun to watch. It really makes the tournament worthwhile. And it's fun to see.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen stories like this all throughout the tournament. We've seen it in Villanova, in fact, from the Piccolo player, Roxanne Shalifu, and she was on one of the late night talk shows last night about
Jimmy
it.
Jimmy Fallon, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Jimmy Fallon. We see these beautiful moments every year, and we talked about it earlier in the year with hockey as well. We saw Nick Petan's dad throw the hat onto the ice, yep, after his hat trick. And
that's right.
It's moments like that which make things so special. Travis Trice, right? Last night as well, Michigan State defeating Virginia. That's another moment that we've seen in this tournament. Just special moments like this for students. Things that, even though half of these players, 75% of these players, they're never going to have a taste of the NBA.
Right. Good point.
This is their stage, and we're seeing them rise towards that. And that's another one of these elements that makes March Madness so special in terms of just basketball and the passion and the pride that it brings towards those schools.
It really is special, and I think, you know, we've quickly touched on it, but speaking of special, this Kentucky team does have the potential to be one of those special stories. A lot of people believe that, you know, maybe there's a little bit too much hype around the team or they're not as good as they are on paper. I tend to disagree, as well as my bracket tends to disagree. let's hope they continue to dominate. The rotation is deep, the coaching is there, the size is there, the talent is there. Personally, I think that's going to be tough to beat that team. You know, a couple weeks, we'll soon find out. I just think we'd be remiss not to mention how good this Kentucky team is, and they could solidify themselves as the best ever.
One of the best, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always funny because you always hear the pundits come out, and every week or every game, there's somebody who's trying to find that one way to beat Kentucky. And, you know, it's funny. They've been in close games, and there have been situations where you think, okay, this might be it. This might be the final. This might be that time where they finally lose. But, you know, whether it's one of the Harrison twins, we brought up Lyles, I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein, Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, you mentioned it, Flip. This team is so deep. Mm-hmm. They have pretty much two separate lineups they could throw at you at any time. It really isn't fair what Calipari has to work with. And again, this is March Madness and anything can happen. So while they're, again, the favorites to win the whole tournament, you just can't write it in stone just yet.
For sure.
Yeah, and we saw the Bearcats at times try and make a push there. But you could just tell there's not enough depth on those teams. They're not able to overpower
exactly
a team like the Wildcats that have so much depth and so much talent. I actually look at Duke as a team that, for me at least personally, I might look like a fool a few days from now, but a team that might be able to give them a little bit of a push. There's a lot of talent on that team, a lot of young talent on that team. Never understate Coach K. Obviously, they didn't end up winning the conference title, but they're still a team that, if all goes well in that one-game scenario, you never know what might happen.
Exactly. And you know what? Our good buddy Kyle, he's a huge Duke fan, and him and I always go at it because I'm a North Carolina fan, and he's gonna love hearing this, and I hate saying it, but you're right, Ali. I mean, they have a great team. Jahlil Okafor, I mean, watching him play, it's like he's playing a game of man against boys.
Permanent like, beast mode there for Okafor.
Oh man, I'm telling the commentators broke it down. Like anytime he catches the ball in the post, it's like he's catching a tennis ball. Like what he can do. From a talent aspect, it's unbelievable at his age. He's a freshman, guys. Just honestly, it's not fair for somebody to be so talented at that age. And obviously, we know he probably will be the number one overall pick if he just declares for the draft. And you know, there are also some other pretty talented guys. I mean, I know Ohio State has actually been bounced, but D'Angelo Russell. I don't know if he plans to declare for the draft as well, but he put on a show in his showcase. Or when he got his time to showcase his talents as well. So some good young talent.
Yeah, and going back to Duke, I see a guy like Justice Winslow who's been having phenomenal spurts in this tournament.
Huge
He's been
game.
Huge for them. And
that's right.
I don't know if you saw the play where he had a massive swat and then he set up Quinn Cook for the triple. So a lot of these – there's a lot that can happen here. That's why this next weekend is going to be so fun. Let's switch gears for now. Back into some Canadian action. Talking a little bit of puck, the Ottawa Senators last night were able to move into playoff position, won their seventh straight game over the San Jose Sharks 5-2. Guys, when you look at the NHL playoff race and what's going down, who do you have down the stretch getting those last few spots? And what about these performances from Canadian teams here like Ottawa, like Calgary and Winnipeg?
It's interesting you bring up young talent in the last segment, Dwayne. We're looking at a young goaltender named Andrew Hammond coming out of BC. Kind of bounced around in the minors a little bit, played in the NCAA for Bowling Green University, came up through the Senators system, played for Bimington last year, got his chance with a couple injuries in net with Ottawa this year, and the kid has caught fire to say the least. He's 14-0-1 with a .946 save percentage and a 1.67 goals against, and he's literally put the team on his back, though, and brought the Sens back into the playoff picture single-handedly. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this story, but it's literally sweeping the nation. I know I'm hungry for hamburgers all the time now. He's got the game. He's got the nickname. The team has the swagger. It's a great story, and I'm loving every minute of it, and that's from a Toronto. That's a Toronto boy saying he's loving every minute of this Ottawa Senators team, and it's exciting. There's some
What's happened to you, Flip?
I don't know. I think there was something down in the water in Florida or whatever was in the rum down there has kind of got me thinking differently now that I'm back.
I think it was Hogan's. Shout out to Hogan's one
time. Yeah, Hogan's. We all miss Hogan's. Shout out Hogan's. But, Yeah, this guy has been very fun to watch, and he's standing on his head. He has not lost in 15 games. He just tied the record for best start by a rookie goalie with Patrick Laliem's 14-0-1 start, and the sky's the limit. If I was one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, I do not want to face a streaky hot team like the Ottawa Senators right now, but there's a couple of streaky Canadian teams going into the playoffs right now.
So I guess just before we get on to those, now correct me if I'm wrong, does he not now have a sponsorship with McDonald's? Is that a thing?
That is correct, sir. He actually is sponsored by 6 local Ottawa McDonald's chains, and he is now free for life at those 6 chains.
Well, that could be a problem, though. I don't know.
It's interesting that you bring up the confidence issue that the Ottawa Senators might have had and how they've really soared now with Hammond and Nett, because obviously you guys know I'm a huge analytics guy, and even knowing that, when you see something like this happen, you see a goaltender standing on his head the way he does. Obviously, Carey Price does it every night for the Canadiens, but we see a guy like Hammond now providing that for Ottawa. And it's interesting how the psyche of a team can just change. They've been on an incredible run, an improbable run. At one point, at the end of December, they were actually tied with the Leafs. And to imagine how far they've come in the same amount of time, the Leafs have picked up 15 points. So you just see the kind of transition that they've gone through, coming from where they were to even now with the game in hand, even on a playoff spot here. So Wow. They have a favorable schedule down the stretch. They get the Leafs 2 more times before the season closes. Those are, I mean, the way Ottawa's played this year and especially of late, those are almost gimme points for them. So very interesting things when we talk about the psyche of a team and what a goaltender and a single performance can do. And you look at another team that's been riding some hot goaltending as well lately, the Vancouver Canucks. Of course, Ryan Miller went down with injury, and a guy like Eddie Lack has just stepped in and picked it right up there. In the past, we saw it didn't work out with John Tortorella, and this team's just gone out, and they've competed and competed, and they find themselves here on the verge of a playoff spot.
Yeah, you talk about intriguing storylines and just watching that Western Conference shape up. The playoff race is tight. You have 3 points separating 4th to 8th, and you have 6th, 7th, 8th all being held by Canadian teams. So it'd be nice to see some more Canadian content in the playoffs. I do potentially see all 3 of those teams making it. I do think they have enough talent. What would worry me if I was Vancouver, Winnipeg, or Calgary fans is the teams behind me. You have Los Angeles, Dallas, Colorado, and San Jose. Now, San Jose is a little bit more out of it than the other teams, but those are some talented Western Conference teams that are usually perennial playoff teams. So it should be interesting. 7, 8, 9, 10 games left for some of these teams. It's going to be a good finish.
Well, you bring up all those teams that are kind of trying to fight their way into the playoff race. And you bring up the LA Kings, who we know all it comes down to for them is just getting in. And that's
my finals pick right there.
Yeah, I think
living on the edge as always.
Still alive.
That's again, we bring up storylines we love in sports, and that's just another one of them. Like, I just love being able to see teams like the Ottawa Senators make a late push or the LA Kings make a late push and find their way into the playoff race, because at that time, and anything is possible. I mean, we've seen the upsets, and it applies to all sports, really. I mean, football, we've seen it plenty of times. The New York Giants, they've come in, you know, just won the division or just snuck in, and you know they have two Super Bowls because of it. You know, it can happen in baseball as well. Look at the San Francisco Giants last season. Yep. I mean, they weren't one of the favorites, but I mean, they were just a playoff tested team that knew what to do once they got in. So it's storylines like that that I enjoy watching, and it'll be fun to see who gets in and what happens once they do get in.
And realistically, when it comes down to the teams like LA and these bubble teams on the playoff, it comes down to talent. And you look at LA, that team is deep. Tons of talent. And realistically, with a goalie like John Quick, he's can steal a series for you. He's done it before. He's stolen a Stanley Cup for this team. And, you know, I just talked about teams in the East not wanting to face Ottawa in that 8th or 7th seed. You definitely, definitely do not want the LA Kings as your 8th-seeded matchup. Anaheim, St. Louis, Nashville, I don't care who finishes first or second. You don't want John Quick and those LA Kings coming into town.
And you just had a guy like Mike Richards recently called back up by the LA Kings, a guy who the team is so deep, the cap is so strapped that he's in the AHL. And now he's back up. He was a point-a-game player down there and he's back up. A team that's been stealing Flip. Obviously, the LA Kings are a huge story, but a team that's been stealing everyone's lunch money all season long continues to do so now, the Calgary Flames. 9 games to go, 86 points, holding down that third spot in the Pacific. Probably the spot that the LA Kings would take if they do get in. Man, they don't even have a number one goaltender right now. They're rotating Kari Ramo and Jonas Hiller.
Wow.
It's shocking, realistically, when you look at that lineup. excuse me. A lot of credit is due to, I feel, the front office of that team. Coach Hartley, I think, deserves tons of credit as well.
Brian Burke is still out there.
Brian Burke deserves a little bit of credit here. I'd like to also shout out Giordano has had a massive season.
Yeah, he went down, actually. He's injured right now, so you see.
Yeah, so they're doing this without their best player. You've had big seasons from guys who are mostly unknowns. Dennis Weidman for one, Monahan for two. You have Johnny Hockey having a great season. I know he's a point or two back of the scoring lead for rookies, or if not tied now. So they've had a lot of performances from guys that are playing way above what was expected of them, and that helps. You also have, you know, a duo goalie tandem who are playing well, and they're slotted in at 8 right now, hanging on to that last spot, and it will be interesting to see if they can hang on. That Western Conference is obviously the tougher of the two and the more talented of the two, if you will. So Calgary will be in tough to hang on to that spot. It's really going to come down to goaltending, I think, for that team, because they do not have tons of offensive upside. They do put the puck in the net, but basically their success rides or dies on their goaltending, I feel.
I think it's another example of the whole psyche factor. They're a team that you look at teams that have rebuilt, and they don't come as quickly as the Calgary Flames have come, and they're a team that's just steamrolled off of momentum. They've built off of past performances. I specifically remember a game very early in the season, they played the Chicago Blackhawks, and I want to say the shots were something like 50-13. Goaltenders just stood on their head, and they were able to pick up the 2 points. Games like that are real confidence builders for young teams like this, and we've seen a guy like TJ Brody pick up the slack on the back end now that
Definitely.
Giordano's gone down. Guy having an all-star caliber season, and what can you say? These are all teams, Calgary, Vancouver, Winnipeg, they faced various issues, whether it's been injuries in Vancouver, injuries in Calgary, a young team, what's happened in Winnipeg, the whole Evander Kane scenario. Credit to these organizations for really going out and focusing through that and putting themselves in playoff position in a tough Western Conference.
Yeah, big shout out to them, and the depth of these teams is really what's kept them in it. And shocking to see, to be honest, from Calgary, even Winnipeg. Vancouver, you kind of always expect to be there with a big salary and guys like the Sedins and Miller. But it should be an exciting finish in the NHL, especially in that Western Conference.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to keep this show a bit short, but we would be remiss not to bring up the fact that the Toronto Raptors are playing tonight in Detroit. And with a win tonight, they'd be able to clinch a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So, you know, we wish them all the best going into Detroit, and hopefully they can, you know, perform a bit better than they have been recently. Right, guys?
Definitely been a bit of a disappointing second half, to say the least, for the Raptors. Coming out with such a great first half and such a great start, expectations were sky high. You know, the Eastern Conference is definitely the weaker of the two conferences, and the sky was the limit for the Raptors coming out of the All-Star break. They've you know, faltered quite a bit in their last 10. They're 4-6, bounced back a little bit. A game like this tonight in Detroit, or I believe it's in Detroit, they need to come out with a convincing win, especially with something like this on the line, just to prove to themselves that they can win a big game. They haven't been winning them, and a team like Detroit, they're a bottom feeder. They're literally last in the Central Division, and Raptors need to come out and crush tonight.
Yeah, and this is one of those classic trap games. The Raptors obviously can clinch a playoff berth tonight for the second consecutive season with a win. We saw actually on the weekend what the Pistons did to the Celtics, who are also vying for that playoff spot. They came out and they went into Boston and came out with a big win, playing a little bit better of late, still not having a good run over their last little bit, but they've added Reggie Jackson, so there is some talent there.
Right.
Of course, on the Raptors' end, they're hoping to go in, cock some joints back, and bang on people. So, I mean, there's definitely that. The Raptors can also clinch their second Atlantic Division title tomorrow night if they can somehow find a way to cure the elixir that is the Bulls. But, no, here's hoping for Toronto fans, just in general, to be able to get that confidence in a team like Toronto. I don't even want to know what would happen to this city if they went out and won a round. Right now, the defense just isn't up to par. But if they can go out, they can correct that in these last 12 games, and they can do that. All the best for the city of Toronto.
Absolutely.
Let's hope that they do clinch it out tonight, wrap it up, and push forward for the playoffs.
Speaking of wrapping things up and cocking joints back and banging on people, we leave you with this very magical call last night from Stacey King of the Chicago Bulls.
All right, thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
Now the offensive board. Oh, meet me at the rim, and don't be late. Wow, what a play.
Suave with the dog in the facial. I didn't come for the massage. I came for the facial.
Come on.